Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 138. Hear the word of the Lord. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for gathering us together in your name this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you have blessed this congregation. And we pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts and our minds now as we hear your word proclaimed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one on the inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Well, I want to begin this morning by taking a moment to simply talk from the heart about one of the greatest privileges that we have, and that is the opportunity to talk to God. Can you imagine? Just think about it. We have the ability to be in conversation with the Creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the omnipotent being of all eternity, the God of Abraham, the God who spoke to Moses on the mountain, the God who came to earth as a baby, born humbly in a manger, the God who walked among us in the person of Jesus Christ and healed and inspired and loved us so much that he was willing to die a heinous death on a cross so that we might have eternal life. The God who now resides with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and the God who will come again to judge the living and the dead. Yes, we are talking about the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We not only have the opportunity to talk to God, but God invites us into that conversation. We are told that he receives joy from our prayer, because when we pray, we are experiencing relationship with God, close, personal, intimate relationship with the majestic and awesome God of all the ages. And we are invited to be in conversation with God. I sometimes think that we are way too casual in the way we talk about prayer. Sometimes we are at a loss for words and how easy it is for us to say, "Oh, you'll be in my prayers." When someone has experienced a death in the family or is suffering from illness or has lost a job or is facing some major challenge or obstacle in life, how often we write or say, "You are in my thoughts and prayers." It seems to be a catch-all phrase that is appropriate for all occasions. And when we are at a loss for words, we are always safe in bringing the comforting, hopeful notion of prayer into our response. And it is wonderful if we truly mean it. And if we are not just uttering the words to get us out of an awkward or uncomfortable situation. You see, Jesus prayed to God the Father frequently. He knew exactly who he was praying to, and his relationship with the Father was such that his prayers were sincere and powerful. He knew his prayers were being heard, and he knew that his prayers would be answered in a way that would bring about God's will and God's glory. Jesus was confident when he prayed. He was fervent, and sometimes perhaps we find ourselves to be less confident and less fervent in our prayers. Sometimes we say the words, but our heart is not really in it. Sometimes we believe our prayers will be answered, and sometimes we aren't even sure what it is that we're praying for. But therein lies the difference in the way that Jesus prayed and the way that we pray. You see, Jesus' relationship with God was one of total and dependent love. Jesus was praying to God the Father, his partner in the Holy Trinity. But while Jesus was walking the earth as fully human and fully God, he prayed to God out of love. And he wanted more than anything to carry out God's will. We sometimes have trouble feeling that same love, and I understand that. We seem to be praying from a distance to a God who we want so badly to believe in and to trust, but we are distracted by all of the emotions and all of the distractions that surround us at the time. The separation from God caused by sin in the world affects each and every one of us, and it affects our ability to pray with the confidence that God has intended. We too should be able to pray with total and dependent love to God, because we have an intercessor who has displayed his total love for us, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, by the Spirit, we are called to pray with confidence in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I pause here for a moment because just a moment ago we talked about what it's like to pray that fervent prayer where we prayed for our young friend and brother, Joseph, as we truly believed that God had the ability to intervene and bring about a successful procedure on Joseph's heart, and indeed it happened. And so what a joy it is to be able to talk about fervent prayer in the context of something that we have just experienced. You know, I have a friend that I have talked about, someone that I have counseled for a number of years now back in Denver, one who has gone through some very difficult times, a difficult time of divorce, child custody battles, and alcohol abuse. I've told you about him before. He needed to feel God's strength in his life in order to help him face each day. And we would have long and agonizing conversations. I would hear the same stories of anger and resentment over and over again. I would get phone calls in the middle of the night asking if I would pray with him. And just when I thought he was doing well, when I thought he was getting strong and had made it through a week without another setback, I would get a call saying that he couldn't get out of bed. He couldn't face the day. And his faith seemed to have disappeared once again. And now we had to start over, building up his faith, nurturing him back to some degree of spiritual health. And it was in times like this that all I knew to do was to encourage him to pray and to spend time in prayer together. One day it occurred to me that he didn't have any trouble believing in all of the evil in his life. In fact, he could name what he perceived to be the evil in his life. And when he was feeling strong spiritually, he was able to overcome those negative emotions, and he was able to confront his challenges. But then his faith would start to waver, and I could see him slipping back into the darkness. And finally, it occurred to me that he was forever allowing the negative influences to take him down. They were so real in his life, and that he knew that they existed because they surrounded him. He confronted them daily. But what he was not able to do was to allow himself to have a constant and unwavering faith in a loving and compassionate Savior. He allowed doubt to overcome his strength, even though he could see the difference that faith has made in his life. His faith at that point wasn't tangible. It wasn't something that he could just grab a hold of. Almost out of desperation, I finally said to him, "You need to allow yourself to believe. You allow yourself to be brought down by the world around you. You allow yourself to have doubt, but you aren't allowing yourself to believe in the constant presence of God in your life." We then talked about having the faith of a child, that innocence that hasn't been corrupted by the world. And suddenly it seemed to make a difference. And our mantra became, allow yourself to believe. Stop listening to the pressures and frustrations and doubts of the world. Stop listening to our own weaknesses, and stop listening to our self-knowledge of all the ways that we have given in to temptation in our lives. In a fallen world, all of those things will always be there. But we are invited to live in the kingdom of God, even here on earth. Allow yourself to believe. Suddenly, my friend started to experience a new freedom, and his prayers became loving and confident. He was praying to our God who wants to be in relationship, and for him, it began to feel comfortable and secure and real. In our scripture passage this morning from Luke, Jesus' disciples say, "Teach us to pray." They have observed Jesus praying frequently. They have observed his faith and his righteousness, and they want to know how to follow his example. Jesus begins by teaching them, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Jesus acknowledges God as both personal and ethereal. God is the Holy Parent, relational and caring, in heaven, hallowed, mystical, and intangible. But yet he is so personal that he knows everything on our hearts before we speak them. And then Jesus goes on to tell his disciples to be persistent in their prayers, using an example of someone who arrives in the middle of the night to ask a friend for bread. Even though it is late and he is already in bed and refuses to get up to go to accommodate his friend's request, Jesus says that with persistence, the friend will rise and will give all the bread he wants. We are encouraged to be persistent in our prayer. "Ask and you will receive," Jesus said. "Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you." The point of prayer is not to get what you want. The point of prayer is to have relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus says, "Ask, seek, and knock," he doesn't mean if you pray hard enough, ask, seek, and beg long enough that you will win the lottery or that you will have perfect kids or you'll never be sick. When Jesus says, "Ask, seek, and knock," he means to be relentless in your pursuit of God's will for your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the righteousness of God. And in your persistence, keep knocking, and God's presence in your lives will become so obvious and so constant that our faith will grow by leaps and bounds, and we will all be able to accept God's will as the answer to our prayers that we truly desire. So ask, seek, and knock. Be persistent. But most of all, be persistent in seeking God's will for our lives. And friends, allow yourselves to believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that you encourage us to pray those fervent prayers, to enter into relationship with you, and to pray believing that indeed our prayers will be answered. But also, Lord, we pray that you will help us to understand that sometimes your answer is not the answer that we wanted to hear. But even in those moments, if we truly trust you, we know that your will is perfect for our lives. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be in that relationship. And Lord, this morning we do thank you for the way you answered prayer for Joseph. We thank you that he is here with us this morning and that the prognosis is not only good, it is joyous, and it is something that brings great relief to his parents and his family. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for answered prayer. Lord, we also lift up those who are not with us this morning, the ones who are traveling. We pray that you will keep them safe As Marcia, Tim, and Ryder travel this coming week, we pray that you will be with them, that you will keep them safe in their travels, that they will be blessed by a time of visiting with family. Lord, we also continue to pray for Priscilla. We pray that you will keep her in the center of your will and that you will continue to heal her. We pray for wisdom for her doctors. Lord, we pray for safety for Daniel Harrison as he is serving his country in Afghanistan. We pray that you will protect him and that you will bring him safely home to his family. Lord, we're just grateful for all of the many, many ways that we do enjoy your grace. And this morning, we bow humbly before you, understanding that humility is indeed living a life that is representative of Jesus Christ himself. So we pray now in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.